All right, as is our custom, before we begin the study of God's Word, it's imperative that we have as much spiritual assistance as possible, since the natural man does not understand the things of God. They're spiritual, must be spiritually assessed. For the believer priest, this comes through the reality of the filling ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship with God, as we would say. When the believer priest engages in personal sin, they're out of fellowship. To regain that capacity, the state of spirituality, we are given the mechanics of 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, whereas in our prayer confession before God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are then operating under the umbrella of God's righteousness, which is absolute through the filling ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in tandem with our human spirit in this capacity. This is divine design in regard to understanding God and His plan via its orientation and written word otherwise in this respect. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for all that you provide for us to seek you, to express our desire and will and choice to know you and understand your plan, that you indeed provide us with the light in this vein, also that we can serve you to the maximum and glorify you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this capacity for all eternity. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the final chapter of Genesis, verse 16 concluded the funeral possession of burying Joseph's father in company with a great multitude of Egyptians, as well as his brothers and their family, and their return to Egypt. While Joseph has been the focus of attention and theme here throughout the death and burial of Jacob, we now return our attention back to his brothers who are alive and well, and it looks like they still have their STAs intact. Here in verses 15 through 17, I title these verses, "The Brothers Petition Joseph." They bring a, if you will, formal petition to Joseph in this capacity. So here, looking at the Hebrew, verse 15, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?'" If you have the wow consecutive, then our verb to see here, cal perfect third masculine plural, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, when they saw the brothers doing the seeing here, is common masculine plural construct noun, ach, A-C-H. Joseph, brothers of Joseph, and then you had a conjunction, key, K-I-Y. The seeing here is a perception that's in view. That accompanies the physical circumstance, key, that, or because their father was dead. And you have first the verb to die, cal perfect third masculine singular, muth, M-U-T-H. He had died. Their father is a common masculine singular construct, third masculine plural suffix, ob, A-B. Then they said, while consecutive, cal, perfect third masculine plural, our typical verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R. Then you have the preposition lu, L-U, simply. This preposition denotes potential, hence perhaps, what if, a condition is proposed. Then you have the verb here, translated grudge. It's a cal perfect third masculine singular with the first common plural suffix, satham, S-H-T-A-A-M. Literally, this verb means to hate. oppose oneself to or towards someone, we might translate it, he should bear animosity against us. Hence, bear a grudge against us. It's translated harassed. The verb was used back in chapter 49, verse 23. In regards to Joseph's enemies harassing him in the oracle, they harassed him. They bore animosity. Is it ironic or is it design? You have a contrast of the brothers towards Jacob, and now they're perceiving him with the same attitude towards them. Joseph, proper noun. Then to pay us back, you have the wow conjunction with the hifil verb, infinitive, absolute, shub, S-H-U-B, followed with the hifil imperfect third maxim singer of the same verb, shub, literally causing to return back, he will cause to return back. Hence, paying us back in full, if you will, would be a common translation here in the English. That we have dealt with this type of construction is twofold. Paying back, he will pay back. So we'll deal with that in the notes. To us, preposition lamed here with the first common plural suffix. Then the sign of the direct object, while he returned back to them, you have the common master singer struck kol, K-O-L, all of. Then our word translated wrong, you have the definite article with the adjective feminine singular absolute, ra'ah, R-A-A-H. The evil, hence wrong. Wrong is evil. Which we did to him. You had the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R. Followed with the cow perfect first common plural of the verb gamal, G-A-M-A-L. Means to deal or recompense. We requited, or we did, simply him. Hence, revenge tactics equal to what they did to him is the idea. Sign direct object with the third maxim singer suffix F. Verse 16, so they sent simply to Joseph saying a message or messenger is fine. Your father charged before he died saying. You have the wow consecutive, followed with the PL form of the imperfect third maximum plural verb, our word to command or charge, T-S-A-W-A-H. That is pretty strong as they are addressing the second most powerful person in Egypt in their petition here. We might translate it, so they sent notice. And we'll deal with that in the notes too. It implies a legal notice. Then you have the preposition L, E-L, directly to Joseph, E-L, proper noun Joseph. While saying, obviously, is the message of the petition, the discourse of the petition, as it would be told to Joseph, your father, common masculine singer, while saying is our verb amar, again, A-M-A-R, calum, infinitive, construct. Your father is a common masculine singer, struct, second masculine singer, suffix, of. He charged. Again, we have this command verb, the PL of the verb tisawa, perfect third masculine singer, reference to Jacob now doing the commanding. T-S-A-W-A-H. Before he died, saying, he had the preposition lamed, followed with the common both plural construct noun paneh, literally faces, followed with the common masculine singer construct, third masculine singer suffix, our noun for death, M-U-T-E-H, literally before the presence of his death, before he expired, while saying, denoting the content, the infinitive emphasizes the content versus simply the verbal oration or noise of the voice. Preposition lamed again with the cal infinitive, construct amar, amar. Verse 17, then they proclaim what their father commanded. Thus you shall say to Joseph. You have the adverb ko, K-O-H, thus. You all will say, second masculine plural, the cal imperfect verb amar, A-M-A-R, as a unit, speaking as one. To Joseph, preposition lamed, proper noun, Joseph. Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. All right. You had the interjectory particle, ana, A-N-N-A, I beseech you. Translated, please. Followed with the cal imperative, masculine singular verb, nasa, N-A-S-A. That literally means to carry or lift. Translated, forgive, hence bear, would be the idea here. I beseech you, bear. Now please, or now, interjectory particle, na, N-A. Follow with the noun for transgression, common masculine singular construct, pesha, P-E-S-H-A. In transgression of, or rebellion of, as it may be translated, your brothers, common masculine plural construct, second masculine singular suffix, ach, A-C-H, and their sin, while conjunction, then our noun for sin, here's a common feminine singular construct, third masculine plural suffix, katah, katah, katah. Anoki can never speak Hebrew. C-H-A-T-T-A-T-H. Literally, this word means missed a mark. When you miss a mark, when you sin, you miss a mark of God's righteousness. You miss a mark of that which is right. See, that's a sin. Translated, and their sin, your brothers and their sin. For they did you wrong, in conjunction key, K-I-Y, because or for, then our adjective again, wrong, evil, the evil thing, the wrong thing, adjective feminine singular, absolute, ra-ah, R-A-A-H. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. The wrong they did to you, I didn't do the did to you, that's cal perfect third masculine plural verb, second masculine singular suffix, gamal, G-A-M-A-L, they dealt you. And now is a vowel conjunction, follow the adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H. Again, our verb translated forgive, cal imperative masculine singular, nasa, bear, for forgive, N-A-S-A. Then the interjectory particle na, repeated, please, or I implore, as in a second use, double please, I implore, hence you, the transgression, the servants of your God, preposition lamed, again our noun, transgression or rebellion of, is a common masculine singular construct, pesha, P-E-S-H-A, the servants is common masculine plural construct, eved, E-V-E-D, is the servants of, the God of your father. God is common masculine plural construct, here in the plural, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, your father, common masculine singular construct, noun, second masculine singular suffix, av, A-B. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Wow, consecutive. And our verb to weep here, cal, perfect third masculine singular, baka, B-A-K-A-H. Joseph, proper noun. Preposition bet. followed with PL infinitive, construct, verb, third masculine plural, suffix, dabar, D-A-B-A-R, over their matter, literally, or their spoken words that deals with the matter. Preposition with third masculine singular suffix, L, to him, E-L. All right, rereading verses 15 through 17. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw or perceived, is an idea that's attached to this. Saw their perception that their father was dead. And in other words, his death initiated a perception. They said, what if Joseph should bear animosity or bear a grudge against us? And paying us back, will pay us back for all the wrong which we did to him. Verse 16, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, they sent notice. Your father commanded a charge before he died, saying, verse 17, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now I implore, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. All right, verses, now it says verse 15 through 17, 1. During times of mourning and pressure caused by the death of a loved one, a tendency to put aside other concerns in life takes precedence. Generally, an event like that will tend to try to preoccupy you. And as you're taking care of all the affairs necessary to put a close on the situation of preparation, mourning, contemplation, burial, all these things. During that time, you tend to just kind of put aside other concerns other than that which is absolutely necessary. Two, after the fact, life then begins to return, or it then begins to return to life as normal. Time goes on. The old saying, time heals. It does if you let it. Obviously, you got to be willing to do it. And when those things occur, whereas under the contemplation and consideration of death in and of itself and its impact on one's personal life, one tends to maybe even behave themselves a little bit better, keeps their minds more occupied in regards to those things concerning the life of the deceased and things of this nature. And then the SCA gets back into its normal mode. Thinking and life gets back into its normal mode. So three, now the English translation, quote, when the brothers saw that their father was dead, in verse 15, might be understood immediately after Jacob's death here, in the discourse, in the narrative. Wow, raw, ach, Joseph, ki, muth, ab. On the surface, it may seem the day Jacob died. Upon the spur of that moment, then all this happened. But that's not the way it goes down. Four, yet there is no need to interrupt the chronological flow that has been seen throughout Genesis as to the events now recorded. Now, obviously, there's controversy in regard to chronology of Genesis, but in our dealing with it throughout the years, and I have shown you that there's no need to interrupt any of the chronological flow from the beginning of the original heavens and earth and his creation, his restoration, creation of man, and history as it stemmed from that throughout. And all that has happened anything that is included in addition to the narrative. Otherwise, we generally have seen a parenthetical insert in this regard. So there's no need to back up now. The time has passed. The time has passed that it took the 70 days of mourning, the days of travel, the return back to Egypt, before they address Joseph in regards to this petition. It doesn't mean that the thought had not maybe occurred to them beforehand. But the actual act of sending this notice to Joseph is after the fact. 5, the literal Hebrew does not emphasize time here, but perception. 6, the seeing, our Hebrew ra'ah, they saw the brothers as an intellectual insight. And the Hebrew conjunction key, that simply states the cause of insight being the death of Jacob. So 7, after the demise of Jacob, Joseph's brothers begin to reevaluate their relationship with him, Joseph, being Joseph, with Joseph. They may have thought off and on the position that they're left in now in regards to their father, being with their father, kind of under his protection, if you will. But they consternate over it, at least, over the time that it took to bury their father and return back home before they took action. And by that time, they were so stirred up, they had to make a move. So 8, once again, fear is seen to rule their lives, among other SCA weaknesses. The pictures that have been presented in regards to the bulk of the originators of the nation Israel and its fledgling state has not been pretty, needless to say. Obviously, Joseph has been the outstanding star. Judah, he's given his high points in this regards. But the brothers overall, and it doesn't mean that we should necessarily think of them that they're all evil. That there was no advancement for them spiritually, things of this nature. But what has been presented for us, what's been recorded for us, no one can deny that they ran as a band, as a gang of brothers, if you will, when they were united and wanted to take hostility and aggression out on others. Fear drove them. Jealousy drove them. Their SCAs, and they did not overrule their SCAs very well, to say the least, as recorded in Genesis. And fear is a major factor. And in fact, fear is a major SCA driver for all that we've dealt with in regards to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, their fear of being in Egypt, someone taking their wives and killing them and things of that nature. But yet, on the other end of the coin, for the patriarchs and Jacob, obviously, in his own right, in his own ways, they ultimately overrule it. But we see here late on in life, some 17 years now since they've relocated back to Egypt, that fear still dominates their thinking. Fear is probably one of the most saturated SCA aspects of mankind that there is, in some form or fashion. People say, well, I don't fear dying. Well, you can probably find something in life that you fear about. You fear about how people think about you. Things of that nature. Being anxious about things. Failure to faith rest. See. Fear is presented in the Bible on two levels. Under the doctrine of fear. There's sin fear, which is the dominant expression of fear, anxiety, things of this nature. Obviously, you can have legitimate concern about things, but not be afraid, not be anxious about it. We're not to be anxious of anything, even sudden death. If you get under fear, which is a responder to let you know when you get that way, in the terms of fearing something in life, then you've engaged in sin, and it needs to be rebounded. Then there's a righteous fear. We are commanded to fear God. He's the Creator. How fearful it is to even conceive standing before the Almighty, powerful God that created this universe. That is a thing that we almost can't wrap our minds around. This being, this Almighty being. But anyway, fear, again, dominates the landscape of the brothers' STAs, among other things, among their other weaknesses. 9, they begin to fantasize, and that's exactly what they're doing, that Joseph has only been gracious towards them for the sake of their father. So this opens another can of worms of how the STA can play with you. The SCA is as sophisticated as your brain computer is in regards to thinking up thoughts. And now, there's been given no indication, no evidence of the recent years to stir them up like this, all of a sudden, now they begin to conjure up in their thinking this fantasy that Joseph is now somehow going to take revenge on him. And that the only reason why Joseph has extended any grace towards him is simply based on his father. And of course, you know, your SCA will pull in things like the father-son relationship that they had, Joseph and Jacob. Joseph being Jacob's favorite son, obviously the partiality of their father towards him, that was out of line. But either way, they can throw that into the mix, you know. But you got to realize and think back that in their consideration of that, their SCA ruled them then. This idea that the SCA can just get a hold of you and you can't overrule it, that's a fantasy. Yes, you can if you have the willpower to do so. So, 10, that Jacob is no longer around, they assume that Joseph will begin to take revenge on them. Leaven, no doubt, one or a few of the brothers began voicing their concerns. And by the time of their return to Egypt, the whole clan is now upset. However, it germinated in thought and in discussion among the brothers, you know, it's anybody's guess. But we can conclusively say by the time they return back to Egypt, they're all stirred up now, every one of them, under fear. And remember that principle that we touched on earlier out of the Old Testament, that Haggai, if I remember right, that righteousness, spirituality is not passed on down the line from one to another. But sin is. What is wrong is. Understand, that correctly reflects the nature of the SCA as being like a virus among the human race. People can pass on their SCA predilections and stimulate other people's SCAs in that regards. like Simeon and Levi, and get together and engage in their horrendous acts. But when it comes down to spirituality, that demands that you stop individually and you address it intellectually with yourself between you and God. And people can encourage you, they can exhort you. But the handing down, obviously, hanging around doesn't make you spiritual. Someone else who's spiritual. 12, they are fearful since they attribute to Joseph now their own STA predilections to be revengeful in their own right. The example of the Shechem affair and what they did to Joseph. So, the Bible has great lessons on how the STA operates. We've seen many of them. And here we see it again. They're running under fear. And they are letting their STAs conjure up, utilizing the same rationale that their own STAs might use in regards to the circumstances and situations at hand. And they tend to have a revengeful trend, such as Simeon and Levi. And, of course, they got the rest of the brothers involved in that after the fact of going in and ransacking the city, etc. And then the brothers corporately and their whole drive to murder Joseph, where Judah, based on his rising above that scenario, at least stopped the murder. So that's and part of growing up spiritually is starting to recognize what your STA predilections, tendencies, weaknesses are. And they differ, even though there is common ground with everyone in certain areas. But they're different. We all have our own STA fingerprints, so to speak. One's STA may be stronger in the phallic sense, whereas another, that may not be the thing. It may be monetary or something of that nature. And it doesn't mean that the STA can't raise its ugly head in any of these areas if properly stimulated. Yes, it could. But over time, we generally begin to recognize and deal with those areas of our STA that tends to drive the fleshly bus, if you will, in life for us, so that we can deal with it and be aware of it. If you don't know what the weaknesses are, how can you expect to appropriately and adequately deal with it over time? So that's part of growing up spiritually. And obviously, again, that brings in all the aspects in terms of all the grace of God and His plan and what it provides for us, knowing that we are created creatures of such nature. So again, they are fearful. Here, one part of your STA is rationalization and thinking to stimulate another part of your STA. They are fearful since they attribute to Joseph their own STA predilections to be revengeful. 13, now it is possible that they use Joseph's initial revenge tactics on them upon their arrival, to Egypt to fuel their emotions. Well, remember back when he did this, when we showed up here, how he put us and ran us through the knothole backwards, so to speak. Yeah, he did. 14, yet that was 17 years ago. And since then, Joseph has extended nothing but the hand of fellowship, expressing his forgiveness with the strongest of emotions as recorded in Genesis 45, 1 through 3. Something, by the way, that we haven't seen from his brothers back towards him in the book. Remembering back in Genesis 45. After He had his game with them under his STA. His positive volition, his spiritual drive, while his STA carried him to a certain degree, he finally comes to the point that's enough. His own guilt kicks in, if you will. Recognizing in his own good conscience, no, this is wrong. Not that he didn't recognize it throughout the whole ordeal. He probably, yes, he did. But finally, he's had enough. No, I draw the line here. And then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him as he now tells them that who he is, as they did not recognize him through that whole ordeal. And he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He reveals his identity. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. That comes from the turmoil of the soul of a positive believer. It's a mixture of being reunited with his family, recognizing his own SCA, weakness in the thing, and he let it rip, remembering back. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers would not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So he gave all the overt appearance that essentially he forgives it. His reuniting with them, what it ultimately brings out is this emotional overload of compassion and love for his family, rather than the spiteful anything mean to carry these things on farther as he was doing otherwise beforehand. So that in and of itself, under normal circumstances, you would think the brothers would be find great relief. You know, and you would hope what you would see. Oh yeah, we're sorry we did that to you, and you know, all of that. But you don't see any of that. It's all coming from Joseph. Not that you know they didn't have on their own level of thinking, but what's recorded for us. And that's what God wants us to consider in that fashion. See. 15, in addition, he gave them the doctrine supporting his forgiveness. And that was in chapter 45, verses 4 through 8, continuing on. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me," verse 4. And they came closer and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves." The exhortation, get a grip on your own STA, forgive yourself. The STA often will try to beat you black and blue when your conscience is stirred up sometimes for a wrongdoing. And he doesn't want them to go through that. "Because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." It was God's will, His geographical and directed will for me to be here, that He utilized under His permissive will your malfeasance towards me to get me here. See, He understood all that. "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. 7, and God sent me before you, preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Verse 8, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." So even with the emotional evidence that Joseph is not going to harbor any really ill feelings towards him anymore. And then with the doctrine. The doctrine that essentially tells him, I've overcome that because I've oriented to God's plan. That it, this was for his purpose for the Hebrew race. See? And he was an instrument that God was using to bring about and a portion of the prophecy of Abraham of the Jews, not only their survival, but then being incorporated, assimilated into the land that's going to enslave them, of which they would be delivered from some 210 years from at this point in time in their history. So all these things that we saw on the back now come to light again in regards to Joseph and his dealing with his brothers, and now seen in this context. So while Joseph continued to make strides spiritually, once again we see his brothers remaining steeped in maladjustment to doctrine as a result of failure to overrule sin nature, to overrule the STA, to peel and apply the doctrine of faith rest. This is the manner in which the maladjusted believer thinks and views life. He often attributes to others his own human viewpoint STA orientation. How your STA drives you, drives your thoughts and your reflection often or sometimes upon others and what you would think they might do because you would do that. See, because you would do that. This manifests a certain arrogance and stupidity. It is a form of judgment that is not doctrinally supported to automatically assume because you have a weakness here, or somebody else has a weakness here, or whatever. That everybody else is going to have that same weakness. That everybody else is going to stoop to that. So, essentially, what explicitly expressed here, implicitly, they're judging the hell out of their brother. That he's going to be like they were to him. See? And you can't do that. That is arrogance, and that's being naive, stupid, ignorant in regards to realities of life. You're dealing with a believer who practices rebound consistently, regularly throughout his life, making the maturity adjustment and advancing himself spiritually, as Joseph was. You got a different ball game than you might do had otherwise from somebody else normally out there in the cosmos. See, understand that difference. Because they have problems in forgiving and moving on. They now fear retaliation from Joseph, and most likely their fear is further fueled by continuing guilt. Food for the fear. You do something wrong, you're constantly looking over your shoulder. See. To let your guilt run with you and be a backpack on your life as a constant reminder. While there is the rightful place to recognize our wrongdoings and to otherwise try to overrule your sin nature in these areas and grow up spiritually, etc. To let guilt drive you is nothing more than truly letting your STA play legalism on your soul whereas otherwise you can take it to the throne of grace and the offended parties as it may be appropriate and gain forgiveness otherwise. This whole thing and of focus of the believer's life, of grabbing hold of the plow handle and not looking back, it has so many different applications. And this can be one of them. Probably most of us have some type of skeletons in the closet. That's just the way it is. And no, I'm not going to tell you mine. I probably told you too much as it is, but anyway. But you can let your SCA drive you and let your guilt drive you. And I see it happening in believers, even in our own periphery. Get under self-pity, not worthy. I just can't do it, How can a just a pastor drink too much? And I'm not saying that was right. No, that's wrong. How can you be simple and be a good believer? Through rebound and continued spiritual advancement, that's how. See? That's exactly what Joseph was engaged in. The brothers otherwise, even though, what they did should have some remorse, at least. But I think you'll see as we get through this, the implication is they have not even yet really, and not even in this occasion, but will really come out and confess their sin to Joseph specifically. Which that's what they needed to do to let the water truly get under the bridge. So to let a cat out of the bag there. 20, their failure in grace orientation and the inability to let all be, quote, water under the bridge, end quote, now leads to more STA activity. The STA will sponsor more STA activity. With divine viewpoint, you can catch your STA and recognize that it's going down the wrong path. It's going down the wrong direction in your thinking. And you can make those corrections, see. But if you're not clinging to doctrine, you're not operating under sound prayer life and rebound and those other aspects are necessary to maintain control and victory over the sin nature, then it's not going to happen. Conduct themselves honorable. They live with the fear that God is out to get them through others. And it's reminiscent all the way back in chapter 42. And Reuben, when they first went to Egypt and all that was occurring with Joseph on that occasion, wanting to keep Benjamin and all that stuff. And they get together, and verse 21, then they said to one another, truly we are guilty concerning our brother, even though they hadn't yet recognized him. But this is constantly on their mind. That's the thing, see. And sometimes you can do horrendous things, and it's hard to shake it. And this is one of them. They still think that their brother's dead. See, that's weighing on their mind. Understand, our choices in life have consequences one way or the other. Because we saw the distress of the soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen. Now comes a reckoning for his blood. So part of the divine discipline is self-induced, deservedly, to a certain degree. And all this really shades any real orientation of the brothers in terms of confession otherwise. I'm not saying that they haven't rebounded it, but that this darkness still hangs over them. Why is that? And hopefully these verses are going to help bring some of that out. 22, their anxiety is stated then in the remainder of verse 15. They said, "What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? Wow, Amarlu, Satham, Joseph, Wow, Shub, Shub, Lamako, Ha, Ra'ah, Asher, Gamal, Eth." 23, the Hebrew preposition lu, translated what if, is conditional or potential. And their statement is called here an apophysis. That means, quote, becoming silent. It's from the Greek compound preposition apo, after, and then the verb siopao, or means silent, after silent, becoming silent. 24 is a figure of speech in which the speakers break off abruptly and leaves the statement incomplete, as if not willing to consider the possibilities. What if? And they don't want to think about it anymore. And they just drop it as they contemplate and consider. 25, so their fears here are expressed in the prothesis. That's the if part of the clause. What if. But their real fears are left unexpressed, at least as recorded in the scriptures, by their failure to complete the apothesis, or the then, or conclusion. If, then, as your conditional clause construction. 26, the vividness then of their imaginative fears here is succinctly expressed in the double verb use of the Hebrew shub, shub. Literally, forcibly returning, he will return. That is, pay us back in full, denoting a two-prong attack. They are conjuring the retribution, the revenge tactics on a two-level basis. That's 27. First is Joseph's STA, conjuring up the kind of revenge with determination to do it. And second is this determined execution upon the brothers. They see him scheming like they scheme. And then have a determination to go through with that. So it takes you through the mechanics in regard to how the mind works, see, with the STA. 28, these men, unwilling to overrule their own STA in certain areas, think that ipso facto, Joseph lets his also run unbridled. As embarrassing or humbling it may be in regard to some areas of our STA, just as it is with doctrine, don't deny it. Don't reject it. Don't rationalize it. Recognize it for what it is. That's called intellectual honesty. How many people run around and they're steeped and running under certain areas of their STA, and they won't even recognize it. They won't even admit it. See? So that does no one any good, including the believer himself. And because they have a tendency to let their STA go unbridled, they think that Joseph, too, is going to operate in the same fashion. And it just shows you just how immature they remain spiritually. Even after the 17 years they've been there in Egypt, under Joseph's kindness and rulership otherwise. So, 29, in their thoughts, quote, "What normal person would not hold a grudge after what we did," end quote. The rhetorical question. What normal person? What person wouldn't come out to get their blood back for what we did to him? In other words, they're saying, we wouldn't forgive you for doing that to us. That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. What, not even with the doctrine that this was God's whole plan, and I had the grace to pardon and forgive otherwise in this regards. Understand, he's in a position, he could send them to the chair, so to speak, as vizier. He could have them executed. So 31, now in their hypothesis, putting this in the perspective of Joseph having the power and authority of Egypt to carry out any schemes, one might see their STA fears skyrocketing, as I was alluding to. 31, in their hypotheses, they openly admit their wrong towards Joseph as they speak to one another within their own circle of guilt. So 32, this highlights the guilt that they had not effectively dealt with all this time. And our time's up. So we'll pick this up Sunday. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.